Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boo-hoo-hoo. 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Phil Collins. Not even an original member.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Phil Collins an original.
Nope. He was not on Through the Night.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Because you're right.
Why don't you check yourself?
Who's the one who died?
Pete Willis.
Okay, Pete Willis.
And then Steve Clark.
Steve Clark died after hysteria. After adrenalize or hysteria?
No, I think Vivian Campbell.
Vivian Campbell joined, yeah, that's right, for Adrenalize.
Yeah.
Because he's in the Let's Get Rocked video, which is very regrettable.
Yeah.
But
I'll tell you what, no one cared more about lyrics than Def Leppard. I mean, Pour Some Sugar on Me is poetry. They even admit that they were just like not trying.
Oh, yeah, well, that was a last minute addition to the album. Like, yep. The album was pretty much done. It already cost him like millions of dollars, way over budget.
Did you hear how they recorded that? I read something yesterday. Like, for every chord on the album.
Yeah.
They had him play each individual note.
Oh, Mutt Lang was a brilliant maniac. Like, he's the producer of the stuff. And the way that he got the yeah sound, it's like 17 of him, of Joe Elliott.
100. He said that they had Phil Collins or whoever's, it's an oral history of the making of Hysteria.
Yeah.
And there were some tracks of vocals that were 100.
Wow, that's amazing.
Animal. It was 100.
Wow.
That was 100. That's kind of a weird song. Like, you love an animal?
I guess she's an animal. You know what's funny is that Mutt Lang went on and made more mega money by producing Shania Twain. Like, he made Shania Twain star because he married her for a while.
And then he's not an attractive man.
But those Shania Twain songs have Joe Elliott's voice going, yeah! Like, he just took the stuff from the Hysteria sessions and put it on a Shania Twain album.
Can you imagine sitting in, and I guess they all hated him except for Phil Collins, but can you imagine sitting in a recording studio and, like, how many chord progressions are there in a song? How many chords are in it? Like, just a riff. Like, not riffs. Each individual chord.
I mean, let's say you got verse, chorus, and then, like, solo. You probably have, like, you know, 20 chords.
No, in the, like, every downstroke.
Oh, I mean, hundreds. I mean,
hundreds.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They had to touch each individual note per chord.
It sounds great. In the end, though, it sounds amazing, and everyone tried to rip off his sound.
No, I know they did. I like Pyromania a little bit more, but maybe it's what hit me. All right, so...
Real quick, yes. I do want to say... Yeah, so we were supposed to have Phil Collins on, and he canceled. So he's
hoping this
sick.
Is a flurry situation where it just keeps getting put off and put off and put off until ultimately I can go... And I know exactly what I'll say. The other one wasn't premeditated, but I can just go, you weren't an original member, and hang up.
And one last thing, because we have to follow up on this. I texted Dan Roach... At 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
I have not heard back from him. Now, a little backstory. We found out that Dan Roach, this week, he was obviously supposed to be down at spring training. He's done that for 25 years. We got an email saying that this is the first year that he's not going to be going. Now, I've heard mixed reasons why he's not going. All I know is that Dan Roach is very responsive. He's somebody who is, you know, when you try to get a hold of him, he gets right back to you. It has been radio silence with Dan as of late. And so I'm really kind of... worried about him because I don't want him to. I don't know. I think this is really something that bothered him. Maybe not bothered, but he's very upset by it because this is, I believe, one of the reasons that he does sports radio is that he looks for sports broadcasting is that he looks forward to going to spring training every year.
He texted me back yesterday, but I can tell you, and I just texted him, but I can tell you why he doesn't want to come on the air and because it's like too sensitive. Like, you can make fun of his dead dad and everything, but I'm not lying. Not joking around. I think this is something he does not want to discuss on the air.
And I'm not joking. I honestly think, and I did this a second ago. I just tweeted and say, "Hey, Dan Roach, we're thinking about you. Everything's going to be okay." I just sent him a little note of, "Hey, cheer up, Charlie." So if you're
now,
out
did
there,
did you DM it or did you put it up on the regular?
I put
Twitter?
It up on Twitter so everyone could take a look at it.
You did that for a scene. You're not concerned.
No, I did it because of what I'm telling right now. I want the listeners to reach out to him at RoachyWBZ.
Don't push him over the edge. Don't let him know what he's missing.
He's a guy who needs to be loved right now. He needs people to tell him that we miss him.
Can we get a sound effect of the slap of the leather and the crack of the bat so we can just send out like a bat signal?
He just hears it across town.
It's either Harry Carey that he commits, or it will get him out of his slump. I don't know why he just doesn't take a vacation. There's nothing going on right now.
Right. I mean, go to Disney. Cheer yourself up.
No, just go down to Fort Myers.
Come on, Dan.
He's not. I told you he's not getting back to us. I told you he won't. He told me yesterday. He's like, sorry I didn't get back to you. I slept in.
No, he didn't. Roachy doesn't sleep in. That's not a guy who sleeps in. He wakes up with his hair on fire. He goes to spin class. He does something. He's up at 7 in the morning.
True. Why has he got a gut if he goes to so many spin classes in the morning?
He has a gut?
Oh, yeah.
I've never noticed.
It sneaks up on you.
Really? I didn't notice. Really?
Oh, yeah. I notice. I check. I give everyone the once over when they come in here.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
I've never noticed that.
He's got kind of a fat ass, too.
Oh.
All right, guess what 80s show from when we were very young, probably when you were in college. Guess which one that they're remaking?
Is it a drama or a comedy?
A dramedy.
Oh.
Hour
long or 30 minutes?
Hour long, and you would have guessed that maybe Shaughnessy was the star.
I heard. Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's with a girl.
Cece from New Girl is going to be the greatest American hero. Cece from New Girl, a stunning reminder that that the gang is breaking up.
Mm.
And that New Girl runs out this season. They're doing a shortened season, and it's going to be over.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Isn't that the
yeah, that's it.
For some reason, I don't want them to fail. Like, I'm not wishing that cast fail. In fact, I'm going to watch Game Night because Winnie the Bish is in it. And, you know, the one that's coming out with Jason Bateman and all this, I'm going to see that. But for some reason, and it's not good, Glenn Howerton, who's Dennis and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he, like, left the ensemble. Like, Charlie Day went and made movies, and he's still cool. The Mick is a good show, and that's what Caitlin Olsen's on. But Glenn Howerton went off the reservation and, like, threatened the existence of the show himself. I want him to fail miserably and have to come back.
Have to come back because you're such a fan of the show. Come back.
Like, you do projects, that's fine, but you don't break up the gang.
Yeah, right.
You'll never break up. I feel like the woman in Misery.
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, you can't end this. You can't end it. And then Mac is doing the Minecraft movie. He's directing the Minecraft movie. Do you know
That's a big gig.
I mean, in terms of... Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be one of the most expensive movies of that particular year to make.
Sure.
If you got the Minecraft franchise, every stupid kid's playing Minecraft all over the place.
Well, it's like when T.J. Miller ended up leaving Silicon Valley, although he's got like some kind of other stuff going on now.
Yeah, but he's one of a trillion guys that's got a lot of stuff going on right now.
No, I mean a lot of stuff going on, like he's in trouble.
But I don't, like I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, some woman has accused him, some woman from college has accused him of misbehavior, which he has denied. But I don't know how much that's affecting him right now. You don't really hear about that. But T.J. Miller, I'm that doesn't end Silicon Valley.
Okay, like Michael Scott, leaving, that ends The Office.
Yes.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, they're replaying The Offices now, Comedy Central, and they play them like all day.
Well, I mean, when he was on it, that show was... The first two seasons of that show are about as good as anything that's been put on TV.
It's good for a long run.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
Because one of the last episodes he was on was when he was supposed to give the computers to that inner city school.
Oh, and he didn't have any. He'd forgotten that he made that promise.
Yeah.
And all the kids,
he was going to give them scholarships.
He was going to give all scholarships. Everyone in the inner city school.
Comes in and they're all dancing around and like doing an ode to him. No, The Office was fantastic with Steve Carell, and then it was terrible.
And then, when he left, you know, that the show was over. But you hear that they're talking about possibly rebooting the show, and Jim Halpert, you know, came out and said that he would possibly do it.
But
it's without
great.
Steve Carell.
Like, wow, Jim Halpert.
The Jim and Pam storylines were the worst part of The Office. Everyone else around it was great.
When they got together, like, the part of The Office, when they were, like, ships passing in the night... There was like a little tension there, which was fine. When they got together, it was really dumb. But I watched the wedding one when Jim and Pam got married, and what's his face? Bangs, one of the bridesmaids.
Dwight.
And then he's like, said she sucks in bed. So the next day she comes up at the wedding. She's like, what's going on? He's like, hello, goodbye. What can I do for you? All right. Well, the Greatest American Hero is coming out, starring CeCe as the gang goes their own ways.
How many episodes do they order?
I don't know.
Is it just a pilot, or do they order like 4 or 8?
It is made by the woman who does Fresh Off the Boat.
Have we contacted Roach? Have we called him this morning? Physically called him, Dan? Have we called Dan?
I just want to know how high the confidence is in this pilot.
I'm going to guess it's not overly high.
Okay.
I just like all the original ideas swirling around.
Yeah, Hollywood. I know. That's the thing. They haven't had a new show.
Like, The Office would come back as The Office.
Yeah. It's The Office.
Without the star. Or that's like doing Will and Grace without Grace.
Yeah, it's Coy and Vance for The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
You know, like, all that did.
Like, what's the point of putting it to get Rainn Wilson finally another job? That guy went off a cliff. So there you go. The gang of new girls breaking up.
Scott's Tots was the name of the of the organization.
One of the most cringe. It's hard to watch.
It really
I turned
is.
It off. I turned it when the rerun was on. I turned it off. As soon as they start dancing around and singing to him, I had to turn it off. And you know me, I love that stuff, but that was so bad.
I know, it was really tough to watch.
All right. Here's
someone said I've watched The Office front to back 5 times. I've watched Scott's Tots once.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is tough to watch.
Oh, it's impossible.
There's episodes I've watched like through my fingers. Like I can't even do this.
The best is when if they bring those two Asian chicks back to The Office. Oh boy.
I don't even remember that. There's a lot I don't remember.
For the Christmas party, and he brings them back, and he can't remember who's who.
I do remember that episode. I just remember the Christmas. The first Christmas episode might have been one of their best. That one and the one they went to the Applebee's and did the Dundies.
Oh, the Dundies is an ultimate classic. There's a lot of them. Yeah, the Dundies.
Oh, the one where they hit the healthcare, where they had to all name what their ailments were out loud.
How about when they first hired the woman who replaced Toby, and Rainn Wilson told him that the fat guy was slow, and so she said that she could never figure out why Kevin. She never figured out that Kevin wasn't. She's like, oh wow, you have M&Ms. He goes, I keep them here so that no one else can take them. And she's like, that's very smart, Kevin. You can drive? Yes, I'm very proud of you. Thanks.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Dutcher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
We are Dutcher and Rich. Josh McDaniels, people are starting to go back and read things about what he said in the past. And one is that he once said that he never wanted to replace Belichick, whatever. I mean, you can change your mind. But one thing that was interesting is that Yahoo did a story yesterday that, you know how one of these things that Reese reported was that McDaniels, part of the reason he was staying is that Bill Belichick was going to open up his coffers and finally teach him the ways of being Bill Belichick. Well, apparently, was it 2008, John, when he went to Denver?
Sounds.
All right. Well, there was an article from whenever before he went to Denver about how Bill Belichick had taken him aside and taught him the ways of Belichickianism. So apparently this has happened. This happened before.
Oh, wow.
Bill Belichick had worked and prepared him before he went to Denver, had taught him everything that he needs to know.
Maybe there's a new chapter. Maybe he's written a second book. It's the New Testament.
Okay, so
09.
Okay, so 09. Yeah, like, yeah. I guess in 08 that Belichick had taught him the ways of being Belichick. And now,
okay.
Maybe I always thought that sounded very strange. That you'd be sitting down after you'd been offered and accepted a head coaching job. I realize he didn't sign, but he had accepted it and not signed assistant coaches. He went as far as you could possibly go without signing a contract. We all agree on that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course.
There's not anything more he could have done.
Well, did you see the jokes that the Colts played when they tweeted out the photos of Reich? It's actually him signing the document. And then somebody tweeted them and said, I don't believe it until there is a time-stamped paper, and then it's both of them, Jim Irsay and Reich, standing there
with the newspaper,
thumbs up. So they got jokes.
Yeah. if I'm a Colts fan, I'm much happier now.
It's a good hire, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a very good hire.
I mean, he technically didn't call plays for the Eagles, but, I mean, obviously he developed Wentz. So.
Hey, Dan Campbell's name was being thrown out there, so no, getting Reich is a win.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And it seems like they dodged a bullet with McDaniels, so... Good for them.
Without a doubt.
They had a guy that would have...
He was hesitant. Off. You know, and I don't blame him. I mean, the guy sounded like a very angry, faster guy when he got up there. but their GM, I don't blame what he said. I did find it weird that they had a press conference that were not announcing a coach press conference. But you can't take away. I mean, he said, listen, the second he said... that he didn't think he wanted to come. I didn't try to convince him to get here. I want someone who's wholeheartedly wants to be a coach for this team.
Again, and this is just, and I won't get to go through it again because we spent last week on it. It's just so, and now I knew that it was BS, the whole Belichick's going to sit down and teach you everything. And now apparently this was something that had been, you know, rhapsodized on before 10 years ago. Apparently Belichick had, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi'd him. And that's already happened, but again, it just is just mind-boggling that he didn't take that gig.
I just love how even Troy Brown, who was in studio with us for about an hour earlier today, has no idea why Belichick benched Butler. And he's someone obviously close to the team. Patrick Chung did a podcast with Phil Perry a while back, and he was saying that he can't remember a time where anybody did anything that justified going from 100% snaps in one game to 0%. Like anything disciplinary or even just on the field that didn't involve getting sick. And it's the whole thing is strange, and it's a head scratcher even to this day. And the fact that nothing real has come out about it yet is... It's interesting. I thought someone by now would have infiltrated, especially with all the leaks that have been coming out of Foxborough as of late. I thought someone would have given us the real story by this point.
I had a guy who contacted me and told me something, and I said it on the air, but I said, who knows who this guy is. But it is funny because his whole point was that Belichick was BS about Malcolm Butler not flying up with the team. And then I read something yesterday that was sourced that said that it's very rare for a player not to fly up with the team, that you would especially be on the team flight so you could get the medical care, that they would put you on the team flight so you could be with the team doctors and everything.
Well, that's interesting because I would think if you had the flu, they wouldn't want you.
I would think so, too. But this was, I can't remember, I read it, but it was, you know, a real news. It wasn't, you know, hey, it's my friend's blog.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently... Because this guy told me this, and I was like, whatever. And then to read it yesterday was pretty interesting, or 2 days ago was pretty interesting. Because this whole thing seems to center around Malcolm Butler. Some part of it is that he didn't fly out to Minnesota with the team.
Well, what if he didn't make the flight? And
oh, it was Volan. It was Volan on Sunday. Yeah, Volan on Sunday said that it was rare for a player not to fly with the team if they were sick because they'd want you to have that medical care.
What if he didn't let them know that he was sick? And they left without him. And then they're like, well, Butler's not here. Where is he? And then they had to call him and find him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sick.
Sure. I mean, that's obviously a possibility. But all I know is that apparently a big thing about this was Butler not flying out to Minnesota with the team.
I'm still shocked that we don't have any info on it. I mean,
it's starting to trickle in. And so I believe now that Volan wrote that, I'm starting to believe what this guy told me. And apparently... This and then I believe everything this guy told me now because Troy Brown just came in here and said that obviously this Instagram stuff was passive aggressively sticking it to Belichick. So the guy that had contacted me, and again, I don't know him from Adam, but the he was right about the plane thing. And then he said that the team was so pissed off that there was arguing in the locker room at halftime.
I just still think... To keep him off the field for the entire game, it's got to be more than that, Fred. It's got to be more.
I didn't say it wasn't more, but I'm saying that the impetus was that he didn't fly with the team to Minnesota. That was, and obviously, I guess he pissed off Belichick all season.
It's going to be a weird chapter in Bill Belichick's legacy because, I mean, of a guy that it's been tough to question the decisions he's made. Even when you do, you can justify it in some sort of way. There's nobody sticking up for him for what he did. Now, this is kind of funny, and if this helps you sleep at night, then here you go. The ex-head of NFL officiating, Mike Pereira, we've had him on before, said yesterday that he believes that trick play where Foles caught the touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, the one they call the Philly Special, was indeed an illegal play and shouldn't have counted.
They didn't have seven men on the line. Should that have been a penalty?
Yeah, it should have been. You know, I know the league came out and said that it's a judgment call, which it is. You know, I mean, the the down judge, who was the one that was on his side of the field. You know, they felt that it was his judgment and he was close enough. Well, he wasn't. I mean, they lined up wrong. Not only that, it's a trick play. And if you're gonna run a trick type play, then you have to be lined up properly.
All right, well, it doesn't matter. Game's over.
It's tantamount to what happened to the Lions in that Cowboys playoff game. I mean, the refs really stuck it to them.
There was a lot of protests on the sidelines, at least that I saw. I didn't see anybody from the Patriots losing their minds over that.
No, Patriots fans, no.
No, you
don't get that.
There's not even Patriots fans who are going nuts over that.
You don't get that. You don't get it.
No, you
don't get that one. Not in any way, shape, or form do you get that one. Out of all the crap that's come out in your favor.
And in fairness, no one's bitching about that.
I didn't say anyone was. I just said, don't start. No.
You can't start now.
No.
Yeah, I understand that.
No. You got enough breaks. People have been with you. Let's not embarrass ourselves now. Fred, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you remember, but after Butler made the pick in the Super Bowl, he had like a snowstorm or something, and he got back to voluntary OTAs a day late. And if you remember, Belichick benched him for like a month.
Yeah, that's right. Like, he wouldn't let him on the field during OTAs after that. That's right.
Against Butler missing things. Yeah. This might have been the last straw type of thing. But
I think there's a million things that led up to this. I don't think Belichick liked Butler at all.
No, he didn't. From all reports, he didn't.
But do any of those things equal sitting the guy during the Super Bowl?
No, yeah. They don't.
They don't. No, so there's got to be something else.
No, it's just, no, he didn't. I'm telling you, it's the missing the plane, and I don't know if he didn't tell him he was sick. That's a good theory, as good a theory as anything else. But that was what pushed him over the top. That is what did it.
Is that your secret source? Calling with some more info?
It's my psychiatrist's
office. Is that Dan Roach?
I'm trying to get something cooking with the shrink.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Me and the shrink hanging out. All right. I got to take this phone call. We'll be back after headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Admit it. Toucher. He turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
The one thing I would like to say thank you to all of the sports media out there is the restraint that you have shown after the win of the Cleveland Cavaliers over the Boston Celtics. I'm not drawing any judgments too fast, seeing that it was one game with the new Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, but then there's Chris Broussard.
Right now, I wouldn't say anybody's going to beat the Warriors, but I want to watch and see if they continue to improve, and then maybe I'll give them a shot. I'm not writing that off as a possibility. This should be a lesson to people around the NBA. It's not just about grabbing the best talent, grabbing the biggest names, and all the players seem to think that. It's about chemistry and fit. Houston's got a big what? Two, not three, not four, and they're the second best team in the league because they got good role-playing pieces that fit around Harden and Chris Paul. That's now what Cleveland has.
Yes, that's what the Cavs now have. They now have chemistry.
All right.
After one game.
Okay.
You have seen this team.
Right.
They're next-level stuff.
All right, here, Chris,
after
this is
one
what we need.
Game.
We need you to give us 5 minutes. We need you to give us 6 minutes. I don't care how you fill it. Just go crazy for like 6 minutes until the commercial.
He's a maniac. He's got a bunch of crazy-ass things that he believes.
I saw him tweeting about that yesterday and saying it's all about chemistry and fit, and that's what the Cavaliers have now. One effing game.
They might do fine. I mean, these guys might perform well. I mean, honestly, George Hill, we said this before, Hill and Hood are good players, but until Kevin Love gets back, you have no clue how good this team can be, because they need Love to perform well in the playoffs if they want to go anywhere.
Well,
Rodney Hood's not going to drop 25 in a playoff series.
Well, Broussard said that being a homosexual is living one's life is an open rebellion to God.
We've seen that. Yeah,
I don't care what he says about anything.
If you say that right about being a homosexual, then you're like a nutty
fundamentalist guy.
Right. If you think that, you know, it's a curse. Being homosexual is something that
you're
cursed with.
I was talking about this with someone the other day. Like, why in the world would you care? Why would you? How would it possibly?
You're not living your life up to my interpretation of what these words say.
If it's not like a relative or like a kid in the which is your like immediate family, I don't know how that would affect you, but if it's just the general concept of it.
It's very interesting. He's a guy who's not doesn't seem to be very bright, and I don't think we've really need to tell you that. But Brad Stevens yesterday did an interview talking about Gordon Hayward, because it was reported that he is going to start traveling with the team in March, and I believe it was Dan Patrick who said, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, my mindset is he's not coming back.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's the way that we've all approached it. That's the way that... you know, Gordon and I have never had a conversation about him coming back. You know, it's always been about, you know, how do you feel? How are you progressing? You know, are you able to move to the next thing? I mean, he's not, he's still using an Alter G to, you know, run with limited body weight. Mm. You know, it's a long, long journey back, and, you know, there's no way to rush that.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's traveling with the team in March. He's coming back. He's absolutely coming back. But I like what Brad Stevens said, is that we're not putting any pressure on him to come back. There's no reason to say he's coming back and put that on him. So he's continuing to do what you should do if you were the coach.
Said during the interview, I think it was Chris Mannix, by the way,
who was
subbing in for Dan Patrick. He said, I haven't had any conversations about coming back with Gordon Hayward.
I can believe that.
Was Mannix distracted by the super cool popsicle sign that was on the wall during Dan Patrick's...
The wall of inspiration? No, I don't know.
Dan Patrick's show is quite... is stale and vanilla as Mike and Mike or Wingo and Mike is or whatever the hell they call it.
Wingo and Golic.
Oh, my bad. As stale and vanilla as that is, like, at least you know that they've been told, just don't say anything.
Right, yeah.
Like, money's rolling in. It doesn't matter what your ratings are. Dan Patrick set out to make like a kick-ass... He said it. He's like, I was inspired by Stern. He set out to make like a kick-ass dude show.
And it turned into Guy Fieri's studio.
Yes.
It's like, well, hey, you want cool? Guys like pinball. You got a pinball machine.
You got a golf simulator on the
right. You know what else they like? Chicks in bathing suits.
I understand he's in... He used to at least be in with SI. But he had a framed wall of... swimsuit issue covers.
Yowza!
My pants are tightening. Now, sure enough, you can see, like, every porno ever made, and there's every Playboy centerfold from 1962 till now.
But is there a sign that says popsicles in your man cave?
There is a
like
sign.
Ours?
Oh, God, that show sucks. He has fully admitted he's trying to be, like, edgy and cool. There is a sign on the wall that just says popsicles.
You know what? You say that. I don't know where it is in that studio.
Oh, Fred's pointed it out because now that he's done that.
Seen it.
Now that he's done that, you can't not see
it. No, it's right there.
Is it back with the Danettes or is it in his studio?
The Danettes. Ugh. So douchey.
Is that?
I don't even watch or listen to that show enough to really know how bad it is. I just know that you showed me that I've seen the studio because I've seen it was going on TV when the sound's not on.
Yeah.
And you're right. It looks like Guy Fieri came in and just like vomited all over the place.
Well, first of all,
bumper pool? We got that. Who doesn't love bumper pool?
Like a golf simulator would be cool to have, like in your basement. I'd probably use it like 6 times, but it would be cool. But I just like, he's like, uh-oh, commercial break, time to hit them around a little bit, like bumper pool. Because you know Fieri's done that show 100 times.
Yeah, I got a fridge with flames on it. Whoa, like, it's getting hot in here.
He's like, guy's going to come in and teach us a little something about cooking meat on the grill.
It's Guy Fieri Radio, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I have no idea how you could hear the Dan Patrick show. Like, I am unaware if it's on the radio anywhere. And second of all, I have not seen much of it, but I heard he was either on Stern or somewhere, and he was talking about how he based his show, like, he liked how Stern, like, incorporated, like, the people around his show, so that's why he made the quote-unquote Danettes.
All right.
And they got a guy they call McLovin, going looking like a McLovin. I love dude movies.
Movies for lots of dudes.
Hey, let me quote some. Caché's a great film. Don't need you quoting it. I had a guy that I know quote me Dilly Dilly. He sent me something that had Dilly Dilly in it.
He said, cool, dude.
When
did you go, what's up?
Since when did, like, so people, like, saw the commercial and just went, like, this is great. This is something I need to incorporate into my daily life.
I don't know, but they ran with it. They definitely ran with it during the Super Bowl. A lot of it there. Well, this is the clip last night that Tom Caron said on Nesson during the Beanpot that got him in a tweet beef with Adam Jones.
You saw the sign. Now I can graduate in peace. Kind of a play on the 2004 Red Sox side, and there's a little bit of a feel to that tonight.
Okay, so as we know, Northeastern won for the first time in 30 years. Adam 12 got naked and covered himself in peanut butter
and called us up at 6 in the morning. After he texted me last night, I never responded to him. He said, if Northeastern calls, I'd like to call into the show tomorrow. I never texted him back. And all of a sudden, 6 o'clock, 5:59, that phone's ringing.
Good for him, man. He's the one guy, as I said, who would rather go to the Beanpot than go to the Super Bowl, than go to, I don't want to see the World Series, but everything else, like the NBA Championship, a Stanley Cup Final. He loves the Beanpot, and he's a big Northeastern guy.
He was on a saxophone scholarship. Nothing counts.
Trombone.
That is right. So yesterday, Adam Jones tweeted, agree with at Tom Caron, the 2018 Northeastern hockey is greater than the 2004 Red Sox. And Tom Caron tweeted back, huh? And then he put, did you really say that? Because I certainly didn't. Thanks for listening. And that does kind of sound like that a little bit. To be quite honest,
wow, Twitter.
It certainly feels like that.
I just hate it so much. Everything that comes out of Twitter is the worst.
By the way, Caron did an excellent job yesterday. I only watched the last part of that game because I saw that Northeastern was winning. I'm like, this might be something worth watching. But Caron always does a good job when he fills in.
It's Trey Flowers that got into
Marquise.
Marquise Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It's two guys named Flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One's a linebacker, one's a defensive end.
Were you throwing a bouquet or something? That was a bad Chip Chipperson. All right, so Marquis, like, this Twitter, nothing good comes of it. Like, how does Tom Caron see Adam Jones's tweet? This is just so dumb. Like, nothing good happens.
I find it delightful that the two people are going back and forth.
No, it's fine. Listen, it's fine. It's just, I'm not thinking as someone who you've told me or who has, you're someone who have read it. Uh-huh. I'm talking about just being one of the two principals involved.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Every time I've gotten in a beef on Twitter, I've ended up looking absolutely idiotic. So it's just,
you can't win. You really can't.
No. And then you're talking to people that are mentally ill half the time.
By the way, somebody slipped this into my group. What is this?
How do you feel today? Good.
No.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
Holy Kapler.
Crack-a-lackin', boy. You want a ball?
Is this the Roach signal?
No. I thought I would enjoy my life as I get older. I hate it.
It's the Roach signal because he's missing.
He won't. I guarantee you he won't come on the show because he's really pissed off and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Shining in the side with the Chatham Anglers logo on it.
I'm dead serious. He doesn't want to come on because he doesn't want to deal with it and he doesn't want to get in trouble with the
I'm serious. I text him at the beginning of the show. He usually gets right back to me.
No. He doesn't want. He doesn't want to talk about it because he's pissed off. He's obviously not going to.
This is not from what he's told you. You're assuming that he's pissed off.
I just told you that the only contact I've had with him is he said, I'm sorry, I can do later in the week. No. I don't know if I'm guessing based on the fact that it was his favorite thing that he did.
Sure.
That he's upset that for the first time in 20 years, he's not going down to spring training, but he also values his job and doesn't want to badmouth his employer.
Yep.
So I think you could take a fairly safe assumption that he wouldn't want to come on the show and have us bust his balls about it. Because he's paranoid that the station's going to get mad at him.
Might be right. It's the best explanation yet.
No, that's what's going on. I can assure you that's what's going on. Again, I guess I must state I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him. I've exchanged one tweet with him, and he got back to me. And all he said is, is that he could get back later in the week. But I guarantee you, he's pissed and a little hurt. And he doesn't want to come on because he knows we're going to bust his balls and rag on WBZ television. And he doesn't want that, which I can understand. I mean, I can understand him not wanting that. I would love to do it if I was him, but, you know, that's not his personality. And I can understand. People get very sensitive.
May we come back just because we miss it? Maybe we'll just take have a little taste of one of Roach's poems about spring training.
You know, he could have gone to Minnesota. If we were still with the same company, I would have volunteered not to go to Minnesota looking back on it. They could have used that money to send him to spring training. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
After a long, long off season, it stands to reason there's optimism in the air. Today's the day. Hip, hip, hooray. Let's fill the truck with gear. 20,000 baseballs, 1,100 bats, and with that Florida sun, don't forget a couple thousand hats. 20 cases of bubble gum, and 60 more with seeds. Boy, these boys of summer have lots and lots of needs. 4 last place finishes in 5 years, that won't get fans down. Why? Because new guy Dave brought Price and Kimbrel to town. Yes, just 8 days, can you stand it, till the boys of summer report. Just 8 days until Mookie, Xander, and company all gather in the fort. And finally, folks, no time for jokes, because this year is the year. It starts today on Yawkey Way with Truck Day, so let's cheer.
.985 the Sports Hub. He's back. He's got some tea or honey or something of that nature on him. He survived. Are you going on vacation next week?
Yeah, we're working on it.
You are so lucky that you got sick when you did.
Why?
Huh, because you're not going to be sick on vacation. You got right. to miss work for 2 days.
Well, look at you. Look at you counting the work days, huh? How about this guy? Do we even get sick days? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
Wait, you took that as a personal attack?
No.
I'm saying you got lucky when you got sick.
I got lucky. You know what? I probably shouldn't work Thursday when you go back and look at it, because I think that put me under.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got home Thursday, that's like, boom, it hit.
Yeah.
But, I'm lucky I got it towards the end of the week, because that way at least you got the weekend, too. It sucks, first weekend post-football. I haven't had a weekend since August.
That's the one thing is that it screwed your weekend.
Dude, I couldn't get out of bed. Can't get out of bed. This is, I've had the flu before. This is the bad one.
Yeah, it sucks. It's awful. Did your kids get it? Anyone in the family just messed around?
No, knock on wood.
All right.
Actually, Wallach's kids got it. One of Wallach's kids got it now.
Both of them now. One had it Friday, and now one had it today.
It's weird how it affects kids, too. Kids are a little more resilient. They bounce back a little quicker.
Yep.
But, I would not wish this on my worst enemy.
Yeah, it sucks.
Was it chest cold?
No, it's head. It's head, throat, and chills and pain, just joint pain. Like, I had Lyme's. And it's real similar to Lyme's pain.
Oh, really?
It's just the ache joints, and you get up every hour because you break out in sweat, or, then, nobody wants to hear about this.
Never. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting because it's something that's affecting a ton of people.
And then the fourth day, it settles in your lower back. So it's like, oh.
Guarantee I get on Thursday after the show.
You're going to get it probably when you get on your plane, and then you'll have it on the cruise.
We had to cancel a trip because of the flu.
One of our kids got sick on one of our cruises, and they said spend 2 days in bed. During the cruise, it sucks. Oh,
that wouldn't be claustrophobic at all.
It's always nice too. How the boat
cruise
rocks.
Ship's the worst. Cruise ship's the worst where you get sick.
Yeah,
they always have the Purell in that. But I'm telling you, you're gonna like it.
I'm gonna like. I'm looking forward to it. They take the kids all day.
I just saw a commercial for one. And I got go karts. One with a go kart track. I think Norwegian has it. I want to go on that.
I actually like those big ones. Like people like poo poo those. Like I'm not getting on a Carnival cruise or anything. But one of the best vacations I had was Royal Caribbean.
Yeah,
they had a bar where they gave you free sushi. And there would be no one else there. So I would just go and I got to be by myself and eat free sushi and drink.
Celebrity was the same way. So we did Celebrity.
Celebrity is like a high class one.
And they're like, oh, it's high class. And then all of a sudden, the big Norwegian or the Celebrity, the Carnival pulls up next to us.
The Carnival.
And it's got the big loop-de-loop slide and it's got all kind of colors. And my kid's like, why are we on that one, Dad?
Yeah, because I don't want you to die of ingesting poo.
I go, look at the chairs on their decks. They got the like the slotted, like one's your grandfather and sit on in his yard.
Yeah.
We got teak ones.
Yeah, I don't need
sit
you.
On the wood and be happy.
Yeah. If you are going on a trip and you've saved your money, don't go. it's not a good thing. The huge boats rule. Yeah, they have like the
rock climbing thing.
Fantastic.
And then the boat pulls out and it's got that big concave thing in the back with the stadium seating.
Yep. Like,
wow, just think if that thing ever went down, water's going to just fill right
there. You got like 5 days. If for one of those things to go down,
That baby's going down hard.
No, it's not. It's going to take forever for that thing to flood enough to get to. You know, the last thing you got to worry about is one of those things going down. It's going to be like in Austin Powers where the guy's standing in front of the steamroller.
No!
Yeah, like you're just like, all right, well, we got to call like a boat to come out. And like, they'll be here in 3 days. We'll be fine. Because you know the crew cabins are the first to get flooded.
Right. So, Dan Roach. Poor Dan.
I know. This is weird. It's weird. He's not bad for him.
I talked to some people. He's not happy.
Yeah, I know he's not.
He's bummed out.
Sure.
And I would blame the Red Sox, not Dan Roach. How about that?
Okay.
From who I've talked to. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Blame the Red Sox?
Dan too cutting edge.
Lack of buzz, and you got to pick and choose where you're investing.
But the Red Sox don't pay to have them come on.
No. I'm just...
I see what you're saying.
What you inferred earlier.
Yeah, is that nobody's talking about
it? The way these two winter teams have responded, it's a Patriots town, and you got to pick and choose where you send and spend things.
It is funny. Even with a new manager, the buzz is just...
I know, but it's the Red Sox.
Who cares about Alex Cora?
It's still the Red Sox.
Zero major league, zero acquisitions. If they sign J.D. Martinez, it maybe you get a little buzz.
That's a sexy one.
Please bring him.
Yeah.
That's a sex.
5 years, $125 million. Let's bring him in.
I was like, no. Now I'm like, sign him.
It's going to be a long summer. That's all I know. All right. So what do you guys got?
Bring him to me.
what do you guys got going today?
I'm not seeing anybody talk to anybody. I don't know.
it's
like a new job, man. It's cool. It's we got bought. Beasley got us. It's cool.
Yeah.
Just tell Larry Izzo stories.
Hey, Nick.
Hi.
Oh, I got some good Izzo ones too from because I had him with Miami down in Miami when I was in Miami with him. He was the first Edelman. He always liked to take his shirt off.
Oh, yeah?
But Larry's not like a great-looking guy. It was all hair. And he kind of had that Peyton Manning barrel chest. Yeah, like Larry would walk around with his elbows back.
You know,
kind of like out like that. And it's just that Peyton Manning just, you know, protruding chest. But it was all hair, like red hair.
Yeah?
It's funny because he's going to be considered for a head coaching job.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, being in Miami, you're walking around no shirt, sunglasses, a big dip in. Yeah, like, really not that hot, Larry.
But as gross as he is, he could probably be a good coach. Like, people love him, right?
He's one of the most fun teammates I've ever been.
Yeah, and players would love Larry.
He's insane. Like, he used to do the smelling salts before kickoffs, and you'd see him over on the sink. And he would, that back when you could bust up wedges, he'd be the sacrificial guy that would go down and just dive in front of, like, three guys.
Yeah, that doesn't scream to be head coach, but nonetheless.
Well, I mean, you got to be a little crazy to do it.
Yeah, and crapping yourself and everything else. But nonetheless, Scott Zolak,
wow,
he's
Dan,
back.
You grew a beard.
All right, Scott, these people.
I'm happy to see John.
It's like you woke up from a coma.
How about that?
All right, everyone, have a great day. Bye.